Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Kai Gorey. I'm the son. Oh, well then. I'm the son of Greg Gorey, who's a deacon. He's that bald one right about there. And Charity Gorey, who's a children's pastor who looks like police lights right now. And then I have a little brother, Coley. Coley, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. Or Sam. Right there. I'm 17 and a junior at Tioga High School. I'm in multiple different extracurricular activities there. And we've been attending New Life Church for 17 years. You may not see me much when you're in this service because I'm usually up there in the tech booth or over in Mara's office helping run the live stream. And I'm used to being an actor on stage. So for today, Sydney Shores is back. There we go. And for those of you who don't know, over the summer during VBS, I was on stage as one of the actors who was Sydney Shores. Now, time to talk about New Year's, new obstacles, or better known as adversity. We all know about New Year's resolutions saying, I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep, or I'm going to go to the gym a lot more, when in reality you go to the gym a couple of times and stay up till 12, binge watching your new favorite TV show. But what about the adversity that comes with the new year? God has put this on my heart because as a church and world, we've experienced significant changes that have challenged us. But they've also helped us grow stronger as individuals. As children of God, we need to look to God and our Bibles for guidance on how to get through it. In my eyes, adversity is the trials that God allows us to go through to help us grow. I would like to talk about how we could get through it with God's guidance. Now let's start out with what adversity is. According to the smart people at Webster's Dictionary, it is a state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. Now my personal definition is a time of struggle, but my definition based off the Bible comes from 1 Peter 1 verses 6 through 7. So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day that Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You see, adversity is a test to show our faith and build our confidence that God is with us through it all. Now, God does not force these trials upon us, but he allows us to go through these trials to build our faith and grow in our walk of faith. Without adversity, there would be no ability to grow. Now picture this. You're a first century Christian. You just witnessed your Savior get crucified on the cross. You're sitting there, you're cursing God, you're questioning him. Now, picture in the future, on the day of the resurrection, you realize what good came from the crucifixion, that you were washed away of your sins, and that he rose again. Much like how the trials we go through, we might question God and ask why and curse him during that, but we always come through out stronger and better in faith. Now, my first point is growth comes through adversity. Now, as a church, we have gone through much adversity lately, losing 2 youth pastors and then losing our lead pastor, Jim, who my family personally, we were really close to. And that hurt my family and I was completely devastated to the point where I didn't want to set foot in this church ever again. I was done with it. I didn't want to come back because Jim wouldn't be preaching. But after many days and nights of praying and talking to God, I realize that this isn't a personal thing. He's using it to help Jim grow in his faith and help bring our church together in faith through this. And then, as we all know, we'll be getting our new pastor in January. So we've gone closer and we've ended up coming out on the other side. All right. My first verse is James 1 verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Trials build your endurance and faith, leading to spiritual maturity. Back to going through the trials of trying to find a new pastor. We've all had times where we were questioning and worrying what would happen and how long it would take. And we've come out the other side realizing we got to that point where we have our pastor picked out. And it's led us to be more spiritually mature through it all. Now, think about this though. If you go to the gym 5 days a week and you don't feel sore whatsoever, you've done something wrong. It's the same thing in your walk with faith. If you go through these trials and tribulations and you don't feel any growth in your faith, you've done something wrong. You should feel times of heartache, of sadness, of where you're struggling, where you're questioning, why is this happening to me? But after all that's done, you'll come through being closer to God and stronger in your faith. My second verse is Romans 5, verses 3-5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Challenges shape our character and strengthen our hope in God's promises. And my final verse in this section, and personally one of my favorite verses in the Bible, is Romans 8:18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. And as a church, we suffered through that time of losing a pastor and searching and wondering when it was going to happen. And it has been revealed to us that we have a new pastor. My second point is how to get through it. Now, I don't know if you can tell based on my build, but I play football. I mean, look at me. I kind of have to. So this season, we went 2-2 in our preseason and then went undefeated in district, winning district champs. And that guaranteed us a place in playoffs. First round, we came out the gate, we whooped the team, not even close. But the second round is when the struggle started. After the first half, we were down by a little bit, but not by much. We knew we could come back. And then we get back and we score. Well, then they score. Then we score, they score. And it was a close back and forth game for the whole third quarter. But then in the fourth quarter, our quarterback threw a pick. And then they scored off after the next drive on it, which basically sealed the deal that we lost that game. Now, it wasn't the fact that we lost that game that hurt me, that was made me struggle. It was the fact of the thought that I would not be able to play with those seniors I've grown close to over the time, and we wouldn't have the same season again. It wouldn't be the same players. Though it's the same coaches and the same team, the same stadium, the same name, everything else is the same, but it wouldn't be those people I got close to playing with again. But then God made me realize after walking back to the trailer to put my gear in, I prayed, and then I felt a sudden rush of calm just flow over me. And I realized everything's going to be all right. It was for a reason. We lost for a reason. I may have not seen it at that time, and I'm going to be completely honest, I don't see it right now. But there was a reason, and it'll be shown to me eventually. My first verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God's plans are always for your ultimate good, even the trials. After I saw that verse pop up on my phone after I lost that game, and I realized there was a reason. Like I said, don't know it, but there was a reason nonetheless. My second verse is Proverbs 3, verses 5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Lean on God's wisdom and not your own. I'm going to take some words from James Parker, what my dad said. My friend Tyler and I, we're good buddies, but they've said, if y'all think it's a good idea, go ahead and ask another person because it's most likely not. There has been many times where we've had to do that, But in the same way, me and Tyler have to ask someone else if it's a good idea. You should always ask God if what you're going to do or what you want to do is a good idea. Because you might want to go and hang out with this group or go to this thing, but it's not what God wants you to do because that group is not good for you and or that thing is not good for your health or whatever, or your faith or whatever you're doing. But lean to God's understanding and you'll be put in the places you need to be with the people you need to be, where you need to be, when you need to be there. My third verse is Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be fearless, knowing God's presence is constant. And that's not meaning, oh, during these times of day, between this hour, this day of the week. No, when you're eating, when you're sleeping, when you're driving to work, when you're at McDonald's, when you're taking a shower at night, no matter what you're doing, you'll have God with you in your presence because he's an all-loving and all-forgiving God. He will see everything you do. My final verse is Psalms 37:5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Surrender your worries to God and trust him to carry you through. That is what I had to do after that game because I was worried. I was scared. I don't know where anything was going to go because during fall, that is football. Football is my thing during that time of year. And without football, I felt empty. But I committed my struggles to the Lord and I learned to grow and I still hang out with those people I thought I would never see again, even though we go to the same school. I still talk to them. We still hang out after school or go hang out and go eat lunch sometimes or dinner if we can. But if I didn't commit my worries to God, who knows where I'd be? I might have still been scared and afraid of what was going to happen, still be worrying, be like, well, why couldn't we have gone to state? Why couldn't this happen? Why this? Why that? But if you commit your worries to God, there will be no why this, why that. You will feel relieved and you will be able to breathe clearly. My final point is patience and perseverance. So recently, I moved towns and schools because my mom got the job as a children's pastor. But before that, she worked at a middle school called Trent Middle School in Frisco. And from second grade all the way to eighth grade, I went to a Frisco school. Well, then she got the news that she got the job as our children's pastor and we had to move schools. And I went to a high school called Braswell. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Braswell, but it's not exactly the best environment. There's constant fights, threats, this and that every day. So it wasn't exactly a great environment. And not only that, I couldn't openly speak about my faith because I'd always make someone mad because they're like, well, why do you this and why that? I'm like, because the Bible says so. That is why I do these things. But then in summer of 2023, we got the news that we have found a house in a little old town called Tioga, Texas. It is, and then we moved there in July and I got comfortable there. I went to school there. I met some great friends of mine. I moved closer to people I wasn't as close to as I am now. I made new friends, like I said, and it was a lot better environment for me. I could openly talk about my faith without the risk of someone questioning me or attacking me for it. Now, my first verse to go with this is Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Persevere in doing good, trusting that the harvest will come in God's time. Now, this verse is kind of what got my want to do this sermon started, because it is our football team, our athletic program's verse at Tioga. And trust me, during the time when I showed this, I was shown this verse, I needed it. It was during off-season strength and conditioning, and we brought it up one day, and then it kept getting brought up every other week. Because strength and conditioning, for those of you who don't know, it's a very tiring process. You're constantly running or lifting or pushing yourself to the brink of your body breaking every week, 2 days off, and then you're right back to it. So someone would mess up and we'd have to go to the goal line, do air raids or, oh, you messed up in the weight room, up downs, push ups, whatever we'd have to do. I thought about that verse and it helped get me through it. Because like I said, we had a great season, so that harvest was great. My second verse is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Trust that God orchestrates everything for your ultimate good. God will never put you in a situation that will harm you. He will never put you in a place where they would hurt you. God only wants what's good for you. He might let you go through those trials knowing you could end up hurting, but it'll also bring you closer to him. He's not going to force those trials to be like, oh yeah, you could go get hurt. Go ahead. He will let us learn from those mistakes to be able to grow closer to him in our walk through faith. And then I will be revisiting James 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Perseverance in trials produces growth and spiritual completion. We all go through many trials in life from the day you're born to the day you die. And persevering through these trials will produce your spiritual growth. And my final verse, revisiting Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Endurance through trials builds hope and assurance of God's love. Because I said earlier, God is all loving no matter what situation, no matter if you sin, don't sin, whatever you're doing at that time, God still loves you and he will never stop loving you because he always loves. So as we step into the new year, let's remember that adversity is not something to fear, but an opportunity to grow. Challenges will come, but with God's guidance, we could face them with courage and faith. Through trials, we develop endurance, character, and hope, qualities that draw us closer to him and prepare us for the blessing ahead. The Bible reminds us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, lean not on our own understanding, and let him guide our paths. When we commit our struggles to God and walk in his strength, we find peace and purpose, even in the midst of difficulties. So as we navigate this next chapter, whether in our personal lives, as a church, or at work or school, let's rely on God's promise, let's persevere, keep the faith, and know that his plans are good. Together, we can face any obstacle and come out stronger on the other side. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for just being able to let me preach to these people and teach them about adversity. And I pray with this new year, no matter what we go through at work, home, school, you let us be able to grow through it in faith and you guide us through down the path you want us to go down. I pray you let these trials be swift and easy, even though they may feel long in the moment, but just let us grow and come closer together through all these trials. I pray you let everyone get home safely and have an easy rest of the day. And I just pray this next year will be a breeze and won't have too many struggles for us. I say this in your holy name. Amen.